This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
That's right, you're on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and this is Jack, and I'm here with my co-host, the wonderful Murray Says, fresh back from a little jaunt
overseas. Slight little technical glitch there. Well, I played a song over a song.
That's okay. It's okay. Reinforcing.
I've been away for 6 weeks.
And Murray, of course, is our volunteer coordinator at the BAC and part of the Well, Well, Well team here. Thanks to the wonderful Gazman for his tunes and views and conversation and for the morning show. Now, Murray, how are you? And may I say welcome back to Joy and Well, Well, Well and to Australia.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say that I feel well rested, but I got back from my 6 week overseas adventure on Sunday morning, and I woke up at 2:30 a.m. this morning, so I'm tired.
Well, don't fall asleep on the
panels. I'll try not to.
Now, why were you overseas, Murray?
I got married, as you well know, because you were there.
I was invited. Most people weren't, but I was.
And it was a splendid event.
It was.
Yes, I did. I got married to my partner of 11 years.
And you decided to get married in London because it's legal there.
It's legal
same
there. We're dual citizens, and it was a beautiful ceremony. And at the end, she said, "I now pronounce you husband and husband."
Yes.
And I had a quivered lip.
Yes, you did.
It was very emotional.
No, it was, and as were many people in the gathering there to bear witness to your union, so to speak. And that was terrific. But you can do it. When I entered immigration, they said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "For a wedding." They said, "A wedding?" And I said, "Yes, a same-sex wedding, actually." And I said, this is a whole new industry for the United Kingdom. There's about 30 people arriving from Australia. Because they were questioning me on my arrival.
Did he roll his eyes?
Yeah,
he
stamped my passport. I said, you've got a whole new industry here. And he said, come in. Didn't want to hear my...
Do you know, I have to say, it was beautiful. Obviously, the day was a magical day. Yep. I had my family and friends there. Yep. And I had people that came in from all different parts of the world. But it was beautiful because after the ceremony, the photographer took my husband and I around to different landmarks like the Buckingham Palace, the London Eye, all of those things. And it was beautiful to see people, had little old ladies, men, kids, all coming up and congratulating us on our special day. And I just thought, well, this is beautiful because obviously the people are just on board with it.
The attitude was healthy.
Yeah, it was really healthy.
But also, you did stand out rather, because you both looked splendid in your tuxedo, so to speak, with a huge, the biggest rose.
It was an oversized rose, wasn't it?
Both of you had, so you couldn't be missed, really. However, we're back on deck today with Well, Well, Well. We've got two excellent topics and guests to talk to today. Murray, can you please inform the listeners what subjects we're looking at today and with whom we may be speaking?
Absolutely. On today's show, the Well, Well, Well team being you and I, we'll be talking with Max Niggle, Speakers Bureau Coordinator of Living Positive Victoria, about the forthcoming International Candlelight Vigil. Max has several years' experience in the HIV sector and may be known to many listeners. We also are going to be talking to Jeremy Wiggins about Idaho Day, which is the International Day Against Homophobia, Jeremy is going to give a broader discussion about that day.
Absolutely. Now, every Tuesday, we talk about topics that relate to you and the GLBTI community, and we're all about sex, health and well-being. You can join us by liking us on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Speak to the receptionist here at Joy 1300 Joy 949 or send us an email on air at joy.org.au or an SMS 0427 Joy 949.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right.
I
told you I was coming. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with John and Murray today. We're missing Anthony. And that's right. Get involved in the conversation. We love to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. Today we're speaking with the Positive Speakers Bureau Coordinator, Max Niggle from Living Positive Victoria. Max, how are you?
Very well, and thank you for inviting me to be on the show, and congratulations on your marriage.
We'll give you a live round of applause. Thank you, Max. That's lovely.
Max, could you start by telling us briefly about an overview of the work of LPV?
Yes, Living Positive Victoria is the statewide organisation representing all Victorians living with HIV. Our strong focus is on living well with HIV and a range of health promotion programs that are delivered in accordance with that. So we also work very, very closely, as you know, with Victorian AIDS Council in the co-delivery of our programs too.
And you're here today for a very special event that's coming up.
Yes, it's the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial, and I'm frantically working on that and pulling it all together. So we're pretty much on track at the moment, though.
So tell us a little bit about the Candlelight Vigil, how it started and what's it all about.
So the International Candlelight Memorial is a global grassroots movement. It's a mobilisation of people living with HIV and those affected by HIV, and being a community-based event, it's very much grassroots. So if this is the 32nd year that it's been going.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And we decided to start doing these memorials again 3 years ago because we'd always focused on World AIDS Day, but because of, you know, beautiful quilt marches and vigil marches that used to occur, we decided it was time to really focus on remembering, away from World AIDS Day, the global loss to AIDS, but not only that, to think about the future and to really acknowledge the people who have been living both long-term and short-term with HIV and their future health and wellbeing.
Wow. And so how is that actually done? Like, how does it come together, a memorial?
Yeah, so Global Network Plus, who is the agency that does this globally in coordinating it, put out a whole range of guidelines, and that's really of great assistance. But because Melbourne is a unique city, as all cities are, we've modified that quite a lot. But effectively, it is very much about lighting of candles for remembrance. Mm. The candles are always in the shape of a red ribbon, the universal symbol for HIV and AIDS. And we always like to do it in an outdoor environment because that's where it mostly occurs around the world, whether it's a tiny little village in Africa, in Papua New Guinea, in a highlands village, or here in a big city like Melbourne. And the city square where it's going to be held is perfect because it's a sand surface.
Mm. It's almost like shedding light on the subject, which is well warranted, I think. The symbolism of the candle.
Symbolism, the candle. I mean, we all light candles in remembrance for loved ones. We all light candles when we wish to reflect on our own lives, or when we want to have some quiet time. We do it for meditation. Hmm. We do it for remembrance.
Yeah, it's very calming.
It is very calming. And this year, of course, we'll be providing both wax candles that can be lit, but also battery-powered candles.
They're fabulous candles. I've got some in my office.
Yeah, and that really makes a difference. It's such a poignant scene to see everybody holding candles aloft.
Yeah.
I remember last year's one, which was part of AIDS 2014, was a very powerful statement to the community, I think, Candlelight Vigil. When's this one taking place?
So it's Sunday the 17th of May at the City Square on the corner of Collins and Swanson Street, and it commences at 5 o'clock sharp, and it's a very quick, sharp, one-hour memorial. So,
And so what happens in the memorial? How's that hour structured?
So it's highly structured because I'm one of those highly structured people, as some may know.
He's not lying.
No.
But Richard Tacky from, people may know him from the Auckland Pride Parade director, and he's got another persona, a drag persona. He's very well known in Melbourne. And he will be the MC or master of ceremonies for the day. So he holds everything together. So this year, the underlying approach to this is to reflect upon how the arts has contributed to almost normalising HIV, but also engaging with the broader community to break down stigma and discrimination. And the arts have been renowned for trying to do that for the last three decades. So Dr. Alison Wheeler from the Victorian College of the Arts, she will be the keynote speaker. Now, Alison is a strong and advocate for women's rights. And the other, we have two HIV positive speakers. One, John Manwaring, who did a lot of work at the AIDS conference last year as a youth representative, and Kim Davis. Now, Kim Davis is a director of Living Positive Victoria, and she's an artist in her own right.
She's a fabulous artist.
And she did the Positively Fabulous exhibition during the AIDS conference last year. And because of her artistic background, we thought it would be great to have somebody who could talk at that level of artistic involvement. But Kim has also done a lot of work with women and children in Southeast Asia.
And go on.
And really, a lot of her focus has been gender-based violence.
Oh, right.
Now, that's very interesting. Aspect of the whole equation. John, of course, is a great speaker too. He spoke well at the international conference last year. Quite an articulate young man, John.
He is, and he's really, he's just another example of how people can transform their lives after being diagnosed HIV positive. And often we go down a path of self-destruction after diagnosis because of a lack of support. But John has really an exemplar of how you can change.
And Kim's not shy.
Not shy at all.
No, well, that's why they're both good speakers.
I remember when I did AIDS 2014 and I was liaising with Kim via email and via phone, and so I'd not seen her. And she said, "Don't worry, darling, on the day you'll know who I am." And so I'm looking around all the stalls and I see this woman walking with a peacock feather hanging out from her head.
She that stood out in Kim. The crowd as well.
She did. She's a fabulous woman.
Any music on the day?
Yes, we are very privileged to have the Low Res Male Choir singing for us again this year. That was a highlight of last year's Candlelight Memorial. Their songs, the way that they actually, their voices just waft across the city square was just beautiful. So this year they're doing three new songs, and I'm pretty sure that they will have a great impact. And again, we really thank them for the donation of their time for the Candlelight Memorial.
It's an event not to be missed, listeners. If you have time on Sunday the 17th, get down to the City Square.
Absolutely. We're talking with Max Niggle of Living Positive Victoria about the upcoming Candlelight Memorial on May 17th.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au to have your say.
This is Jack and Murray from Well 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 on Joy 94.9, and we're talking with Max Niggle of Living Positive Victoria about the International Candlelight Memorial that's coming up on May the 17th. But first, Murray, are there any messages, please?
We do. I've got some messages, and so do you. Hi, Jack and Murray, and hi, Max. The first Melbourne Candlelight Memorial was held 32 years ago in the City Square in May, where two men held candles under an umbrella in the pouring rain. They were the late Robbie Quigg, I hope I've pronounced that right, and the very much alive Tom Carter. Cheers, Tex.
Thank you, Tex. It's always good to be reminded of the origins and where we've come from and what it means today.
I think it's great, too, that we're actually back in the City Square, even though it's smaller than it was all those years ago.
No, it's important, I think. And I've got a message, too, from, you know, our program and Joy go to all over the world, and we've had messages from the United States, Argentina, Pakistan, and today the UK. Michael, or Mike as he prefers to be known, in London. Great show, guys. Love the content and love the presenters.
That's great.
Thank you, Michael.
Nice. We can stream online.
Yes, and everyone can get our podcasts as well.
That's right.
So, Max, we're back with you. Now, what else can we expect at the vigil, please?
Well, look, we can expect some incredible speeches from our HIV positive speakers because they will be talking very much about their lives living with HIV and speaking on behalf of everybody living with HIV in Victoria, in Australia and globally. So with the combination of their speeches and with the music from Low Res Male Choir, we are also just negotiating with George Weir, who is a Victorian College of the Arts dance graduate. And George did a performance with Ballet Lab in the lead-up or during the AIDS conference last year.
Yeah, I remember.
So we've approached him to do an interpretive piece connecting the arts again with the portrayal of HIV. Mm. And he's come on board with that just last Friday. So really looking forward to that.
And Ballet Lab have that they presented a whole show of different aspects, different narratives and stories of people's lives last year as part of the conference. Very powerful stuff.
Sounds like it's a jam-packed hour.
Oh, it's a very much jam-packed hour, but it's scripted down to the last 30 seconds almost.
That's because that's your role, to make sure it runs smoothly.
That's my background.
And tightly.
Is this event actually done with any partners?
Yes. Look, we're really fortunate. First of all, the Victorian AIDS Council. This year, for the first year, we're doing this in partnership, and this is really fantastic. This is true collaborative partnership, which many people may not think we do this, but we do it, and we do it really, really well. Mm. Our other major partner, of course, is the fabulous Joy 94.9, who are doing all the CSAs for us and have done a series of small vignette interviews with people around the world. So that's going to be quite compelling because people have got different messages about stigma and discrimination. And from there on, MCV, they are doing a huge blitz of advertising for us. And we couldn't do it without this sort of promotion. Not only that, we've spread 300 posters around the city of Melbourne, 5,000 postcards, and we also are working in partnership with the city of Melbourne, who are sponsoring us to have the event at the city square, and of course with Positive Women and Straight Arrows.
Yeah, good old
Well, I'm just tired listening from all of that stuff that's being done to promote this event, and obviously you're heading it up, Max. How many people are we expecting to come into this event?
Well, last year we had 500. That's our aim again for this year, but I'd like it to be even bigger and better because this year the publicity has been even more concerted.
Yeah.
And, of course, working with VAC, we're now actually got that added ability to get the message out loud and clear. So if we had 1,000 people turn up, it's still nowhere near what the big vigils many, many years ago where we marched through the city, but it will make a significant impact because we want the whole of the city of Melbourne and the broader community to be involved in this event.
And it's been growing every year since it was reinstated. So so with the publicity and with the information going out there and good information and entertainment, people get out there on the 17th.
And for the people that don't, may not remember or may not have been around back in the day when they were so huge, can you take us through what kind of feeling that was and the coming together of everybody for such an event?
I was one of those people who are HIV positive who were not wanting to engage in those marches and those vigils. Mm. But the people that I do know, and Tex was one of them, they said that it was incredibly poignant.
Yeah.
The emotion, the tragic deaths that were occurring at the time. Mm. But the quilts, for example, were incredibly important. So when I first started work 15 years ago for Living Positive Victoria, I did assist at the quilts at the exhibition centre, and the people that come from all walks of life to see that, it was such a wonderful reminder of those who have died.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Very powerful.
And for people that don't know about the quilts, John, do you want to maybe explain that?
In those days where people were dying in considerable numbers, family members or significant others would make a quilt in remembrance of the person. There's the quilt committee, which is housed at the Claremont Street site where we are at VAC. And it's a living document still. It's a testament to what has been and what people meant to people. And they come out every World AIDS Day and at various events like the big international conference last year. And they're still a powerful statement, I think.
Incredibly powerful. Mm.
Thankfully, not many quilts are made these days. That's a good thing because people, it's a very different landscape now with good treatments. Max, what else? Do you have an objective there from somebody who, one of the organisers, the international?
Yes, Suzette Moses-Burton, who's the Executive Director of Global Network Plus, her very powerful news release on World AIDS Day last year, and I'll read the quote directly. She states that many of us live in social, political and legal environments that are difficult, sometimes even dangerous. And violence against women living with HIV shows no sign of abating. We must ensure that those marginalised in our communities are included. So, on the 17th of May, globally, 200,000 people last year acknowledged everybody who was currently living with HIV and demanded a sustainable response to HIV and AIDS where everybody has the equity of access to treatment, care and support like we are so privileged to have here in Australia.
Absolutely. Strong words.
They are very strong.
Now, Max, can you just reiterate once again the details for the memorial, please?
Yep, Sunday the 17th of May, 5 p.m. City Square.
5 p.m. sharp.
5 p.m. sharp. Do not be late.
He means
otherwise,
it.
You'll
he
miss
means it.
It. And
there's no RSVP. There's nowhere to contact. You just show up.
Yep. You can show up. Absolutely, just come along and enjoy it. But if you, we'd like to sort of get some feedback from people, so you can actually go onto our website, www.livingpositivevictoria.org.au. You can go to our Facebook page, Living Positive Victoria, and see the event, and you can just click on RSVP there. So we'll have an idea of how many people will be coming along. But 115 countries around the world.
Yeah.
And hopefully Melbourne will be shining.
Absolutely.
And it won't be wet.
Well, thanks, Max, for joining us today. And once again, get along to this memorial.
City Square.
City Square, Sunday the 17th of May, 5 p.m. sharp. And I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're going to go to a song.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
Welcome back. I'm just untwisting my tongue.
It's a very big tongue to untwist.
It was. Q&N.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Jack.
Oh, okay. So now what we're here today to welcome Jeremy Wiggins. Jeremy, welcome to Well, Well, Well on 94.9.
Thank you for the round of applause.
Yes. And Jeremy's from our counselling section at VAC.
Yeah, counselling and the alcohol and drug services.
Well, we wouldn't. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Very serious side to everything we do. Now, look, we're talking about Idaho Day, but what do we mean when we talk about Idaho? I know it's a state in the United States, but what is it we're talking about here?
Yeah, isn't it a Keanu Reeves movie?
Is it really?
It is. No. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Idaho Day, which has various other incarnations now as the years move on. It's known as Idaho Day, which stands for International Day Against Homophobia. Mm-hmm. But then people might hear Idaho Day or Idahobbit Day to include, I guess, the other letters of the queer alphabet, which is International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia. So I guess it's a day to highlight the discrimination and violence experienced against the minority groups.
And so how is that actually done in terms of what happens to highlight those?
Yeah. Well, locally what happens around Australia now is that different schools or local governments or councils or organisations will have, an event, hold an event where perhaps if they're the local council, they'll mm-hmm. raise the pride flag, the rainbow flag or the trans pride flag and have some keynote speakers talking about their commitment to supporting LGBTIQ communities and acknowledging, the discrimination and violence and harassment experienced by those communities and acknowledge how important it is to work with organisations and communities and schools to provide a safer space or safer environments for people to live. I guess it's a day for people to come together and to acknowledge the hardship but also the strengths by communities coming together.
And when is it exactly? What day?
It's May 17th.
It's the same day as the Candlelight Memorial.
That's fitting, isn't it?
And is it still important? I mean, isn't there greater acceptance of diversity these days?
I think to an extent, yes, but there's still a long way to go. We are breaking down barriers, year by year. Obviously, once upon a time in certain states in Australia, even being gay was illegal. There's different advances happening sort of all over the world. But here in Australia, there's still a long way to go in terms of transgender rights and also people who are intersex and their rights. Bisexual people still experience a lot of discrimination and biphobia. And there's a lot of different laws and, structural issues that prevent people from accessing good quality of health and well-being and quality of life. So there is still an issue there for many communities.
So sure. Does the actual day target, does it ever have a theme in terms of, okay, well, this year we want to tackle this issue and we're going to focus on this and highlight this? Or is it just a whole day where, you know, people come together and they do their different activities?
Yeah, it really depends on who's driving the event. Yeah. Because, for example, last year I was part of an event that ran where we launched a Transgender Victoria and Y Gender project called What Makes an Ally, and we partnered with the City of Wyndham.
Yeah, great.
So that had more of, and Safe Schools Coalition and Minus 18 and Zoe Bell Gender Centre also launched their Gender is Not Uniform policy guide to allow, you know, to promote kids in schools being able to dress however they wanted mm-hmm. to and not conform to a particular uniform. And so that had more of a focus on trans and gender diverse people's experiences, which I think is important to highlight those that don't have the space often. So it really depends on who's driving the event and the reason for the event, sure. and who's coming together.
And so, yeah. what kind of things are you doing yourself this year that you're driving?
Well, this year, actually, at that weekend, because Idaho Day, because I think it falls on a Sunday, Idaho Hobbit Day falls on a Sunday, I think. That weekend at VAC, we're actually bringing together all of the major trans and gender diverse groups at VAC to support them with sexual health education and drug and alcohol education. But apart from that, I live in the West, so the city of Maribyrnong are having an event and raising the pride flag and having local queer GLBTIQ performers at City of Maribyrnong.
Yeah. It's good to see councils coming on board, isn't it?
It is, especially City of Wyndham, when you said, I grew up in Wyndham.
Oh, you grew up, you're a Werribee boy?
Yeah, Werribee, yeah, you know
right.
that.
Yeah, I'm a Frankston
boy. That's how
boy.
We're connected. But that's great to hear that they got on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great, yeah.
That's progression
Thank
right
you to
there.
Them.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. We're going to come back.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 JOY 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right. You're with Murray and Jack on Joy 94.9. And we're talking to Jeremy Wiggins about Idaho Day and the related queer phobias that are behind it, so to speak. Now, let's talk about transphobia. Has it always been part of Idaho?
It hasn't always been part of it. It was introduced in 2009. There was a petition that came about in 2009, which was signed by a number of people, including mm-hmm. some Nobel Prize winners, and sort of aligned with France actually removing transgender as being a mental illness from their policies. So I guess that's still something that we're trying to do in Australia, is remove being transgender or having a gender identity that's different to the sex assigned at birth, remove from all mental illness acts.
It's still within the act.
Well, Victoria removed it last year, I think it was. But
wow, only last year.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the act. But however, like how people are actually diagnosed to and approved to be able to have hormone mm-hmm. treatment or surgeries often involves being diagnosed with gender dysphoria, which is still considered a mental illness under the DSM-5, which is what being gay was back in the 80s. That was part of like the DSM-3 or the DSM-4. Yeah. So.
Jeremy, can you give us some examples of transphobia that you're maybe aware of?
Yeah, so, well, what is commonly experienced by a lot of trans and gender diverse people is, you know, social exclusion, like just fear and hatred, experiencing sort of slurs or harassment, violence, or at a structural level in terms of legal protections, not being able to discriminated against in terms of employment, so not being able to get employment, but not being able to really find out why. But it's perhaps just because you're trans or gender diverse. Some people have difficulty getting the right documentation to match their identity, have to jump through a lot of hoops. In terms of if there is a married couple that is deemed, I guess, heterosexual when they were married, but one partner wants to transition, they are actually forced to get a divorce before the partner can start their transition. So there's a lot of rights that need to be, I guess, enabled and fought for still, which a lot of organisations still do, the Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Lobby and Transgender Victoria.
It builds in stigma still, doesn't it? The system has inbuilt discrimination and stigma when you're dealing with those sorts of issues around still being seen as a...
Yeah.
We don't deal with it well as a society, I don't think.
Well, we don't, but I think humans generally want to, but they just need to be educated.
It's a powerful statement. Yeah. It's very true.
You know, I don't think anyone wants to hurt others. I mean, sure, there's some pretty extremists. Yeah, there are extremists out there. But on the whole, people, I think humans are compassionate. And once they come around to the idea and understand it, they can express empathy and support. And I think that we've got had an increase in the amount of allies that we have, and we've come a long way over the last sort of 10, 15 years. But yeah, there's still a long way to go, even globally. There's a lot of, you know, trans women of colour who are unfortunately... So much violence occurs in countries around the world, and and trans women of colour are most likely, you know, more than anyone else to be actually murdered. Right. And there's a lot of murders that happen around the world.
That's so all the more reason why we should get behind Idaho Day, really, to think about it, think about the issue, and think about the implications for people who may be trans or gender diverse, or, you know, just... It's bloody awful, isn't it?
Yeah, and if anyone is out there listening and feels as though they need support, contact VAC. We have services for trans and gender diverse people. We have a transformed support group which runs. It's a 6-week support group. We also have counselling and alcohol and drug services. So if any, you know, we are engaged with the trans community and have trans clients already. So please feel free to contact us.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Well, thanks for coming in, Jeremy. We appreciate it. You can go and put your beanie back on and your big jacket. He's actually outside.
I know. It's
I like the mountain man look.
In fact, it's 11.4 degrees right now. We're expecting top of 18, according to the board.
Oh, I think it may not get there.
But, Jeremy, thanks. It's very interesting.
Thanks for coming in.
It's important for us all to dwell on and think about the issue on Idaho Day, May 17th.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
Where does the time go?
I don't know, Murray.
Yeah, we're always at the start. I think, how are we going to get through this whole hour? And then here we are.
But we've got interesting guests, interesting topics with Jeremy and, of course, Max from LPV as well.
Absolutely. So it's all going down on Sunday, May the 17th.
It's a busy day on the
17th.
I hope it's a good day, a warm day. Thanks to everybody for listening. Every week we're here on Joy 94.9 with Well, Well, Well. Same time, same station. Coming up next, we have Fiona with the afternoon show. The lovely Fiona is waiting outside to come in and we'll play.
Oh, well, we hope she is. I've not seen her, actually.
No, I've seen her. She's out there.
Yeah,
she's
out there.
So
we'll be back next week.
We will.
You already said that, didn't you?
I did. I said that. Yes.
I'm tired.
Same time. Murray has got jet lag and he's been awake for 75 hours,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. See you same time, same place, same station, the joyous station in the world.
Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.